Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
Yes.
The winning side.
Yes.
So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan in studio with my friend, co-host, troublemaker, David Niles.
Right before, so we're getting ready to start, I was like, all right, Adam, you're bringing us in. Bring us in hard. That's what I said.
And I gave the nod.
You did it.
And I did.
As you were doing it, I was just, yes. Welcome, everyone.
Yes, welcome. It is so great to have you guys here. This is a old show. We've been doing this show for 10, 11 times now.
Yeah.
So this is old. We're old. I'm old. You're young.
But
you're not going to be young very much longer.
Dude, I'm super young.
He's about to turn 30. So
not
welcome
till
to the
September, brah.
Yeah.
It's like months away.
Yes. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show, ladies and gentlemen. We do three things. Oh, whoa. I was getting ahead of myself. I apologize.
I was about to punch you. Just to like.
Well, last episode we talked about.
For the safety of our listeners.
Yeah.
I was going to have to take you out.
And last episode we talked about punching friends in the face.
That's true.
You did. You said.
I know. I remember. Yeah. I was there.
Yeah. So, okay. So, every episode we give a warning out at the very beginning.
Dave gave it out last time. And you got to be, what did I
B
say?
B minus.
B minus. Yeah.
That's pretty good. But Dave, why don't you go ahead and take it back over.
Okay. I'll do it. So, be warned. If you are listening to us right now and you are someone who is susceptible really at any level to high levels of manliness, so if you're even a little bit susceptible to high levels of manliness, please be careful. Maybe listen to something else. At least turn the volume down. You know? I mean, just to be safe. Because this show will be harmful to your health. Please consult your doctor before subscribing to our podcast. But once you do, please review that podcast. Okay?
Great segue, Dave.
Thank you.
That was great.
So you've been warned.
You've been warned. And we got a plug-in for our podcast on iTunes. Go over there. Give us a 5-star review if you like the show. If you don't like the show, tell Dave on his personal Facebook page.
Yeah, but seriously, if you don't like the show, tell us why.
Yeah.
Tell us what you don't like, and we'll send you an email or maybe do nothing. No, I make no promises.
But we are available. You can catch us on Facebook. You can catch us on YouTube. Or not YouTube. We're not on YouTube yet. We're actually thinking about doing YouTube soon.
Yes.
But
maybe for our friends of the show.
Yes, for Breadbox. So okay.
Tell them about friends of the show.
Well, before I do, hold on. Let me get through my spiel.
Sorry, dude.
Okay, so we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. iTunes. You can catch us on stmichaelradio.com. You can catch us on breadboxmedia.com.
It sounds like we're everywhere.
Well, we're not. We just make it that way.
It seems that way.
Yeah. So you can catch us there. So the Friends of the Show is a Breadbox Media deal that Breadbox Media has given us a platform to provide special content. If you become a friend of the show, it costs $10 a month to become a friend of the show and basically get exclusive content.
Correct.
And so what it does is it gives us a revenue source to continue with the show because obviously it costs money to have this equipment, to edit, it just costs money to do these things. And so it gives us a little bit of a revenue stream.
And I think for a lot of the people who are on Breadbox Media, that $10 a month goes to the broadcaster. Is that correct?
That goes to the broadcaster.
So in our case, we are a nonprofit. That $10 a month will not go to you and I personally. That money will go back to our production.
Yes.
All of it.
Right.
It'll go to our... We also, you know, I'm the president. You're the vice president of our local radio, Catholic radio station.
Right.
It's going to go to Catholic radio.
Right.
That's what
Dave and I don't pull a salary at all for our... you don't get into Catholic radio really to
It is so hard.
To make
any money. Let me just tell you guys. If you even just say, I just want to make $1 in Catholic radio, good luck.
Yeah. So here's the deal, guys. This is a old show, but a new show.
It's a new show with an old soul.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it was funny, but...
I'll give you a B minus.
You know, they can't all be winners. I don't know what to tell you. Okay.
So three things we do every show. We open a manly beverage.
Which we're going to get to. We have... More than one manly beverage today.
Yes, we do. This is the first time.
And there's a reason for that. We're going to get to it.
Yes. So
imminently.
Yes, we do a manly beverage.
1 point for me for using imminently.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, thank you.
The points don't matter.
No, they don't.
We do a manly gear. We highlight a manly gear. And then we talk about a manly topic. Now, today, all three of those are kind of intertwined into one.
Which is awesome.
Yes, because it rarely happens for us, because we're not that creative.
So let's just go ahead and tell them what our topic is.
Okay, so our topic today is apostolic succession.
Boom.
Boom.
You may have heard of it.
Yes.
It's a thing called the Catholic Church.
Right. Apostolic succession.
And this is the Catholic Man Show.
Right.
So, a lot of Catholic men in the apostolic succession. Just, I took a glance at the list. Seemed to be a lot of men there.
Yes, absolutely. You know, St. Ignatius said, where the bishop is, there is the Catholic Church.
Sounds correct.
So,
I'd have to fact check him on that, but it sounds correct. Just an immediate,
Anyway, Dave, you and I, like, we're about 30. I'm 30. You're 29. we're pretty much 30. And in our lifetime, we've been blessed with three amazing popes.
Solid popes.
Okay. We have Saint
JP2.
The Pope, Great.
Pope Saint John Paul II / the Great. I prefer the Great.
I like the Great.
I really hope that gets caught on.
Yeah,
that catches on. Yeah.
Me too. And then we have Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI.
What?
And now we have
our German Shepherd.
Our German.
Yeah.
And then we have Pope Francis. So Dave, let's,
who is legit?
So Dave, let's open our beverages and let's kind of talk about how this works.
So because we're doing apostolic succession, we have two beverages today from different countries.
Yes.
First, well, it's not the first outside the country because we drink a lot of scotch, but it's the first European drink. No.
Nope.
Scotland is a little convoluted. Scotland is part of Britain, but they're not part of the European Union anymore.
This isn't a geography show. I don't really like geography.
I prefer Google Maps to geography myself. But,
okay.
So the first one we have is a Polish drink.
Yes, for JP2.
JP2, the Great.
The Great.
Then we have a German drink, believe it or not.
Pope Emeritus Benedict.
And currently, Pope Francis is still in office, so, I don't know.
We cheers to him every episode.
Yeah.
That's how it works, because we cheers to Jesus.
At least subconsciously.
Yeah.
I do in my own brain.
So,
the first thing we have.
Yes.
Is a Polish liqueur, and it's in Polish, they say Krupnik.
Krupnik.
Yeah. Just really get, you know, gnarly with it. Yeah. Krupnik.
Yeah.
But you might call it Krupnik.
Mm-hmm.
Here in
the
United
States.
Tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a dessert liqueur. The Krupnik we are drinking this evening is made by my father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. In fact, I've had it as well. The Krupnik from the liquor store. It's not as good. It's a very spicy drink.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Okay. Look, before we talk about it, let's have some.
So, I've just had a lot of it in my days, so I just know what it is. So let's drink it.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
And Our Lady.
May we forever live with them.
Amen. Mmm. This is definitely a sipping beverage.
Yes, absolutely. This is definitely exactly how I remembered it. It almost tastes a little bit medicinal as far as there's the honey, there's a little bit, there's the spice. So it almost tastes medicinal. It tastes medicinal.
Yeah.
It's
kind of one of those things that, you have a sore throat?
Mm-hmm.
Have some Krupnik.
Right.
Oh, you need to degrease your engine? Take some Krupnik.
I remember the first time that I tried it, you know, my first thought was, this tastes like Christmas morning.
That's exactly what it tastes like.
It tastes like Christmas morning.
There's something about it. And I think it's maybe the cloves and the cinnamon. So it's very spicy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the recipe. I've never actually made it, but I know a little bit just from talking to my dad. It's 1/3 honey and cloves. It's got a lot of cinnamon. So it's very spicy.
Right.
But it just tastes like Christmas.
And it's really good.
It's fantastic. The first time I had it, it was given to me in a shot, and I took a shot of it. It was terrible.
Right, you don't...
Take
a shot. In fact, you don't really want to...
It's a sipping.
Yeah, it's definitely sipping.
Whether you want to sip it or not, it's going to make you sip it.
So, this is to Pope St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
And this radio station and this radio show.
Mm-hmm. But we're just going to have a little bit of it so we can switch to the...
Yes.
German beverage.
The German beverage, which we need to talk about here.
And we're going to do our very best to pronounce correctly
Yes.
So that nobody gets the wrong idea.
Correct. I'm going to let you do it, Dave. I don't want this burden.
Okay. This is called kill a pitch.
Kill a pitch.
Kill a pitch.
Pitch. Right.
With a P.
With a P. And
as in Penelope.
Yes.
P.
And this is our German drink.
And we've never tried it before.
We've never tried it.
But I was reading some stuff on it, and apparently it's won tons of international awards. Things like winning an award by the Beverage Tasting Institute for the best herbal liqueur in the world. And as well as other things. I mean, it's like best international spirit in 2010. All kinds of stuff. Did you just try it?
Yeah, I tried it.
What's it like?
It's almost kind of like Jaeger.
Hmm.
It reminds me of Jaegermeister.
Oh, really?
Yes, it does. So just as a heads up, if this is your first time to listen to the show, we drink on the air to celebrate the finer things in life. God created this for us, and in doing so in moderation, we give him glory by consuming it in a moderate.
Because also we drink good things.
Right. Exactly.
So God created the things that are good.
Right.
And so we enjoy those things for their goodness.
Right. And we promote moderation.
And we encourage you to do the same.
Yes.
So try Kill a Pitch. If you can find some Krupnik, please try that too.
Yes.
And in fact, do it over the break, because it's coming up right now. And we'll be right back.
Yep.
You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, still sitting here with Adam Minahan.
I'm doing some stretching right now.
That's true. I'm watching.
I'm stretching out for this next segment.
Because here we go.
Yeah, because I feel like that we're going to start running here on the show.
Figuratively speaking.
Yes, figuratively speaking. I did some running today, actually. Literally running.
On purpose?
On purpose. No one was even chasing me.
Like you went for a run?
Well, my family went out. We went out to the park, and Luke and I ran around the track.
Okay. So you ran with your three-year-old.
Yes. But let me tell you, he's a fast guy. He's a fast little dude.
Okay.
I was sweating.
You went running today.
I was sweating.
Your dad bod was sweating. I get it. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. We digress. Go ahead.
Aren't we like professional digressors? I mean, isn't that kind of what we do?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we barely talked about the kill a pitch. Let's spell it.
Okay.
I want to spell it for people.
Spell it.
This is a German word, but I just need to spell it. It's K-I-L-L-E-P, as in person, I-T-S-C-H. So it's got the classic German T-S-C-H, ch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're telling someone to be quiet, like a sh with a T at the beginning. Ch.
Yeah.
Kill a pitch.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Jaeger. Yeah, it's very similar, you know, which makes sense. They're both German beverages. But this one, to me, is when you taste it, it's clearly, in fact, Adam, you said over the break, I think that's a good way to say it. It's clearly higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's smoother.
It's definitely smoother. Has a little bit more vanilla undertones as well.
Definitely. You can just... I could definitely sip on this via fireside.
Yes. Both of our drinks today are really more of winter drinks, like for like sipping along the fire, campsite, like you're outside, either outside by the fire or like, you know, curled up next to the fire in your living room. It's a very good sipping whiskey. I imagine like...
Not whiskey.
Not whiskey,
neither
I'm sorry.
Neither whiskey. Yeah.
No, neither. Liqueurs. I imagine sipping them like holding a G.K. Chesterton or C.S. Lewis book, trying to figure out what the heck they're saying by the fire. Because both of their writings are pretty intense, pretty deep.
Even with pipe, which we talked about.
Yes.
We've talked about pipe.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Dave, let's break it down for the... man gear.
Okay, so Adam, this man gear was your idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an idea that I was like kind of a little bit, not bewildered. That's a bad, maybe a bad word. But like, when you mentioned it to me, I was like, oh, okay. I've never even really thought about doing this before. And so I feel like I am kind of playing the part of our listener at this point. So I want you to talk about it, and I'll, in fact, we intentionally decided, let's not talk about this off air. Let's save this conversation for on air.
Yes.
So this is the first time I'm going to hear you talk about
the man gear,
the man gear, because I think it's a great idea just from what I did here.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
Okay. So there's not like necessarily maybe a title for this, but what I call it is a man prayer journal.
Okay.
Okay. And here's what it is. Here's what I've done.
And maybe, just from what I heard, prayer, right. Prayer journal is maybe a little bit too specific.
Right. It may be. It is may it, be,
would you say?
Yeah. I mean, yes, probably. So maybe more like just a man journal.
Okay. Dad journal?
Dad journal. Yes. Ooh, so the whole idea
dad
was.
Dad journal sounds good.
When Luke was, when we were pregnant with Luke and Luke was born, I thought, I need to capture the moments that I'm feeling right now, the emotions that I'm feeling right now. I need to capture this, and there's no way of really capturing it except for writing down how I felt. And I'm not a writer. I'm actually terrible at writing. In fact, I'll read something online and be like, oh, I could have definitely done better than this, you know, right.
Sure.
And then I get down to writing and I'm like, I know nothing. I can't write, you know?
Yeah.
So, but my whole idea behind this was to capture moments in my life, significant moments in my life, to pass down to my sons.
You have two sons.
I have two sons.
Just tell about your sons real briefly.
Okay. So I have a son named Luke Michael. He's 3 years old right now, and he is just awesome. He is
awesome.
He is a bull in the china cabinet.
He is boy.
Yes, he is all boy. Loves baseball.
And I'm just going to say, the most athletic three-year-old I've ever seen. I kid you not.
Yeah, he loves baseball. He loves hitting the ball. He loves throwing a ball. I mean, you put a basketball, soccer ball, baseball, I mean, whatever it is, he wants to do it.
Okay, I have a challenge for you guys. I want you to go outside, take a ball in one hand and a bat in the other, toss the ball up in the air, and try to hit the ball with the bat. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just give it three tries, see if you can do it, because I want to let you know that Adam's son, Luke, when he was 2 years old, he could do this, okay, like a champ. And just go see if you can do it, okay?
Yeah, it's not easy. So Luke is three, and I have a 1.5-year-old, Jude Timothy.
Jude the dude.
And he is just, he is awesome as well. He is a total different,
He's gonna be a heartbreaker.
Yes.
Man.
I mean, like, he is a blue-eyed little boy who is a mama's boy right now.
He's got just like, he's got hair.
Yes.
I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, he does.
Chicks dig hair.
Right. So anyway, through this whole process, I was thinking,
I'm glad I got married before I lost all mine, just as a side note.
Well, me too.
You're not losing yours. I'm losing mine.
I'm
not even 30 yet. Sorry, we digress.
Okay. That's okay. So my whole idea is to capture these moments of times of struggle, times of prayer, times of important moments in my life, and how I'm feeling and how I'm coping, how I'm dealing with it, maybe even times that I've come across new saints that I have special devotions for.
Really?
Yes. Even like, you know, I remember when I first was introduced to San Jose Maria Escriva.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like,
what a dude.
Oh, what a man.
Let's cheers to him.
Yes, definitely cheers to San Jose Maria Escriva.
Mm.
But
we like to cheers to manly dudes,
right,
when they come up on air.
Absolutely. So my whole thought was, I mean, I've even journaled in there about how I want, like, my funeral.
Really?
Things like that. Sometimes I even draw in there if I feel I take it into adoration at times, so I'll draw in there. I'm a terrible drawer. Like, I can't draw, but sometimes I just feel compelled to.
I recently did some writing in adoration for the first time. I wrote Pamela, my wife, a love note in adoration.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great time to do it. It's sometimes, actually, some of my entries have just been very, like, one Bible verse and just brief commentary of how I felt about it during that time.
Really?
And so, but the whole concept of this is that something that I could compile and give to my sons, either like as maybe I'm old, you know, maybe I'm about to die or after I die, to show them like dad had things that he struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
Dad had times where of, you know, highs and lows, like everybody does.
Yeah.
And here's how he fought through those. Here's how much he had to rely on Christ,
yeah,
and our mother and all the saints to do that. And so and here's how much he loved and captured the emotions of when we were born and, you know, on our third birthday. And, you know, just all these special moments that we have, I just had a hard time of mentally capturing it. And so I wanted to write it down.
Man, that's just crazy. Like, just to... It would be nuts to have something that my dad wrote about when I was born.
Right. I mean,
I would love
to read
to
that.
Know
exactly
how he was feeling that
day. And
so,
you know, with our topic being apostolic succession, passing down.
Right.
This is how we kind of connected
you
it.
You and I, we had talked about this for a long time. You know, like, mm-hmm, what is something that we can come up with the man gear, you know, that fathers leave behind? And it, mm-hmm, was just a struggle because people... You know, it's like, well, they used to leave watches, but they don't really do that anymore.
Family heirlooms are kind of...
So when you came up with this idea, it's like something that, what, you're already doing this?
Yes.
You know, that was awesome.
Another thing that I've made a deal with myself on with this is not to go back and reread it.
That's very interesting.
Okay, and so here's the reason why, is because there's vulnerable moments that I've been writing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go back and either fluff them up or feel like, ooh, that was too vulnerable. I exposed myself too much. Maybe I'll scratch that out.
Yeah, or affect the way you journal in the future.
Right. So I don't ever go back and reread my posts.
Entries.
My entries.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That I make. I don't journal every day. I don't journal every week. You know.
Just as you feel like you need to.
Yeah. Just at times that
hit
me.
Do you keep it in a place to, like, you know, where you see it frequently?
Yeah,
you
know,
to remind yourself.
Yeah, so
what
I
do
keep
you do?
It, so I keep it in my bag that I carry either to carry to work. I carry around. I'm a sales guy.
So you always have it with you.
So I always have it with me.
Wow.
You know, I'm a sales guy. So
have you written that in the journal that you always have this journal with you?
No, I haven't.
You should write that down because, you know, someday to your kids, like, wow, Dad carried this with him everywhere he went.
Yeah, because, you know, there's times, you know, like I said, I'm a sales guy, so I travel a lot, and there's times that I have, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes that are open, and sometimes I'll go into adoration. I can just swing in there, say hi to our Lord, you know, tell him how I'm feeling for the day, and I'll jot a couple things down. And so I've told my wife, I've told her what it is. I've also made it nice. It's a leather-bound journal.
Yeah.
It should be.
It
feels
good. I mean, if it's... Should be an heirloom. I mean, that's what it is. It's an heirloom.
Right. And so I've told my wife about it. I said, please don't read this, but if something happened to me, I want you to make sure to get it to Luke and Jude. Because I just want them to have something to show, you know, this is what Dad was going through at that time, because I think it would be something cool that I would enjoy if I was in that situation.
It seems like after your death would just be just such a beautiful time to have that delivered. You know, like they could keep learning about Dad after he's gone.
Right. So that's the man gear.
Awesome, man.
That's the man gear for today.
I'm glad you made that the man gear.
So stick around because the man topic is going to be awesome. Apostolic succession.
No doubt.
So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, guys, to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
We are sitting here drinking a little bit of Krupnik.
Okay.
And and a little
Krupnik.
Krupnik.
They don't roll the R's in Poland.
Oh.
I mean, not...
I like to do that.
Krupnik.
And Kilopitch.
Kilopitch.
And we've talked about a little bit about a man journal, which is not sissy. It's not a sissy thing.
Absolutely not. I don't think anybody interpreted it that way. If they did, maybe they're a sissy. I don't know. But
yeah.
Really, Adam, I think that I might start doing that because I was just thinking, like, as you were describing all that, what that would mean to my sons, God willing that I have any.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a daughter and one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
In case our listeners didn't know, my wife is totally, we're having a baby.
Yes.
October 30th is her due date. So we are, please pray for her and mm-hmm. for our baby, that healthy delivery. Maybe it will be a boy. We don't know.
Yeah.
We're going with the wait and see approach.
Right. Which is going to be awesome.
It is.
So, Dave, this last month has been a lot of fun for us, for you and me personally.
Oh, the Catholic world here in Tulsa has, we've had some turnover.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, guys, if you guys don't know, just recently we've been ordained a new bishop. We got a new bishop.
We've had this stellar bishop.
Bishop Slattery.
Like, you know, I was like 10. I don't remember when, it's like 93 or something, mm-hmm. early 90s when Bishop Slattery, Edward Slattery was ordained. Fantastic bishop.
Oh, couldn't have asked for, I mean yeah, he's awesome.
Top notch.
Right. But he was ordained in Rome, okay?
And by John Paul the Great.
JP2.
Cheers.
Cheers to JP2.
Cheers to a man of greatness.
Yes. But, so, the last time there was a bishop ordained in Tulsa was like 38 years ago, okay? And
we were not alive.
We were not alive. And, Dave.
Only in the mind of God.
You and I had the opportunity to commentate the bishop.
Yes, commentate. That's correct.
The bishop's ordination. Mm-hmm. And live.
Live on the radio.
On the radio. And so guys from Aggieville, from College Station, came down, Red Sea Radio, and they had their equipment to...
Some awesome guys.
Oh, top-notch guys. Thaddeus.
Thaddeus Romansky and Dennis Maka.
Yeah.
Dennis has a son who's a seminarian.
Correct.
In fact, he's a classmate of... one of our seminarians here,
Josh.
In Tulsa. Josh, yeah.
Yeah. So they brought their equipment down to allow us to be able to broadcast live the ordination.
Fantastic equipment.
Oh, yes. And it was, let me tell you, Dave, that was such, like, it was hard to even realize what was happening in the moment.
I know.
Because I felt super underqualified.
We had this great view, because we were kind of up on a camera platform, you know, mm-hmm. broadcast, watching this priest... undertake an ontological change, mm-hmm. you know, literally become a new creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It blows my, I mean, like, it, I can't even really.
There was like 17,
now, what, even now.
Right? Wasn't there like 17,
17
bishops there in one, like, I've never been to a place where there are 17 bishops all in one room.
I have not been aware of being in a place with 17 bishops all in one room.
And so we had the opportunity to, interview Bishop Slattery before the ceremony.
He always does. You cannot ask him a question that he doesn't have a great answer for.
Right. But then we got a chance to interview people from Texas who knew Father David Condola before he was bishop.
Because Bishop David Condola mm-hmm. is the second oldest of 12 siblings.
Yes.
So he had a ton of family.
Huge family.
There's like 1,000 people from the Diocese of Austin who came up for him.
Yep.
Just as a testament to his,
and
what
so,
he's meant to them.
So, Dave, you and I, and with Thaddeus from Red Sea Radio, we had the opportunity to interview people before, to commentate during the ceremony,
mm-hmm.
and then to sum up everything at the end. And what a awesome privilege it was. Like, I felt underqualified, like I do every time I step in front of a radio mic.
Well, the bottom line is we were.
Right.
We were underqualified.
Right. But I just felt like this is such a special moment that I'm getting to be a part of and capturing this moment and being able to, because it was broadcast all over Oklahoma and Texas. And
yeah.
So we were able to communicate this at this apostolic succession, this lineage of our church to everybody.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a like crazy moment for me.
No doubt.
It was, I just felt stunned.
You know, St. John Vianney said once that if a priest truly knew himself, he would die of love because of what God does for him as a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is so true. It would really be true for us just even being present
mm-hmm.
at the ordination of a new bishop, that mm-hmm. if we really knew what was happening,
mm-hmm.
we would die.
Right.
Because we know what's happening, but if we really understood it,
right,
we would die of love
mm-hmm.
for
imagine,
God.
Imagine, okay, so I think I even said this on air. We saw there was thousands of people there.
Thousands.
It was thousands of people there. But imagine the person's that were not visible there.
Oh, the angels?
The
I know.
The angels, the saints. I mean, it was it just is mind-numbing, not mind-blowing whenever you go into thinking about how much heaven rejoiced in that ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people were really
there.
And,
you know, well, we did the litany of saints, mm-hmm. you know, and just like we do at a priestly ordination.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're there.
Yeah.
When you invoke those saints.
They're there.
I mean, if you invoke them right now in your bathroom, they're there with you in your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's
if you're listening to the Catholic Man Show in your bathroom, I mean.
Invoke them.
Yeah. Do it.
If you need some help, man, they're there, okay?
So that was just super, that was super cool.
Totally cool.
Okay, but Dave, tell them what happened today, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Okay, so well, it was the...
You're going to be hearing this a little delayed. We're
right.
Pre-recorded, but
this
Saturday.
Last weekend. Mm-hmm.
What's the date?
So it was the 16th and 17th.
My brother-in-law, Sean O'Brien, now... Father Sean O'Brien mm-hmm. was ordained as a priest.
So not only did we get a chance to this last month, within the last 30 days.
I just got chills again thinking about it.
I know. We got the opportunity to see a new ordained bishop. And then this last weekend, we had the opportunity to see a new ordained priest.
And not only Sean, my brother-in-law, but also, so there's Sean O'Brien and John O'Neill.
Mm-hmm. Some great Irish names.
Sweet Irish priests now. So there are five people ordained, two to the priesthood, three to the transitional deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so excited
for our church.
Tulsa, if you guys don't know this, Tulsa is blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
We like here in like 20 years, Tulsa is going to be a Catholic place. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call it right now.
Yeah.
I'm predicting.
Take it to the bank.
Maybe I have the gift of prophecy and I'm just not aware of it yet. But it was so awesome, especially
really
for my wife, Pamela. And just mm-hmm. I had the privilege, you know, since I married into the family, mm-hmm. of being on the front row.
Right.
And watching all of this stuff happen and watching my father and mother-in-law. Just I have never seen a more proud dad
mm-hmm.
than my father-in-law, Dan.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who kind of wears his emotions on his sleeve. But it's I'm having trouble saying what it was really like
mm-hmm.
because Sean is such a loving guy.
Right.
He's going to be a phenomenal priest.
He is a phenomenal priest now.
But have you ever met a priest who's even close, you know, like in the last 5 years, a priest who's been ordained who isn't A, perfectly orthodox and B, totally filled with joy?
Yeah, No, not
I have
here.
I have not seen one.
Not here.
The new priests that God is calling to his service are just they're top notch.
Yes,
they really are. And there's so many amazing, I'm not saying to disparage any of the older priests, but
right.
God is working miracles.
Mm-hmm.
He is truly calling workers to the field
mm-hmm.
Because the labor is plenty.
Right.
And the workers are few, but the workers he's calling are good.
Yeah, great. Yes, absolutely. And Dave, that kind of brings us to the Catholic Church in general, okay? Because every time when we talk, when we go to Mass and we say the Apostles' Creed, we say that we're one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic,
mm-hmm.
okay? And what is, you know, it's pretty easy to understand what one means.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to...
It means it's not two.
Right.
It's just one.
One.
There's just one of it.
Right. And it's pretty you can grasp what holy is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a lot like myself.
No. No, I'm not going with that. I'm not. And, you know, the word Catholic is universal, means universal.
Right. Which it is.
So you can understand that. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about we're about to come to a break here pretty soon.
Yeah, I see it coming.
But we need to talk about what apostolic means. What apostolic succession means,
right.
Because it differentiates what the Catholic Church is compared to what all the other Christian churches are. From all other churches.
And some of the other, I mean, just technicality, some of the other, some of the other churches that are apostolic, like the Eastern Orthodox Church,
mm-hmm.
it's technically apostolic, you know, mm-hmm. because they do have those, but that's just a nuance, and that's not what this show is about necessarily, but... I can see the break coming. It's getting even closer. When we're going to talk more about this after the break.
Yes.
We're going to define apostolic. We're going to talk about where is it in the Bible? How do we know it's true? Why is the church apostolic? Why do we say that in the creed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, these are really good questions.
Right.
And we can prove them biblically.
Yes.
And we plan to.
Yes, this next break.
Because we have Google, and we have searched these
verses
out.
And we also have Verbum.
Verbum is pretty sweet.
Yes. So stick around, because what we're going to do is we're going to break all that down for you. And let's give a shout out to Rosalie real quick with that awesome.
Yeah, Rosalie Contrite.
Yeah,
check out her podcast, guys.
Because we just had a great podcast with her.
And she's stellar anyway.
Yes, absolutely. So we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I hope you enjoyed those commercials. I personally thought they were awesome. If you're podcasting this show, you have no idea what I'm talking about, because we don't put the commercials in the podcast. And maybe we should.
No, let's
not. I bet
not.
They would enjoy the commercials.
No, I don't think anybody would.
Dude,
that would upset me if I was listening to a podcast and there was commercials in it.
It happens.
I know, but it upsets. All I do is fast forward.
I know. Podcast players have this crazy fast forward button.
Yeah.
Which I use all the time.
Right.
I personally podcast most things.
So do I.
Just, I'm going to admit it. I'm going to come clean. I don't listen to most things live.
Well, I do
or
some.
Or when they're broadcast.
I do some because, like I said, I'm a sales guy, so I'm traveling a lot, so I'm in my car a lot.
Yeah, that's good. But I also don't get to win stuff because it's like, dang it, this was a week ago.
Yep.
This sale is not even going on anymore.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're talking about apostolic succession. We just told you about some of the apostolic succession that's been taking place here in Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
and it's been awesome.
Yes.
Just also as a side note, our new bishop is hilarious.
Yes, and he's awesome. Yeah, he is
and
hilarious.
And he's like a woodworker. He made his own crozier.
Yes.
If you missed out on this, he is famous because during an interview, they were asking him about making his own crozier, and he said, well, no Jedi's training is complete until he learns to build his own lightsaber. This is my lightsaber. And when I heard him say, when
and
I read that
nerds,
he said that.
And all nerds in Tulsa cheered.
I almost exploded. Like, you have no idea. It was like, yes! Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
I'll nerd out about it more later. It's been an ongoing thing for me.
Dave.
We're going to talk about apostolic succession, and we're going to biblically discuss it / prove it to you right now. So what is apostolic succession? I'll tell you what I think it is. It's the passing on of authority from Jesus Christ till today. He told Peter, boom, you're the man. Peter told, well, no, he died, and then the church told somebody else, you're the man, and it's just been going on forever, okay? So bishops have the ultimate authority. The Bishop of Rome has even more authority because Rome is the head of the church, just because the church has said so. But, you know, if you look at the Bible, Jesus gave Peter specific authority, and that authority has been passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
The Catechism talks about this.
Yeah, in 77, the Catechism says, in order that the full and living gospel might always be preserved in the church, the apostles left bishops as their successors. They gave them their own position of teaching authority. Indeed, the apostolic preaching, which is expressed in a special way in the inspired books, was to be preserved in a continuous line of succession until the end of time.
Boom. So it kind of goes back to Matthew 16:18.
Yes.
Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom. He tells him, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven,
mm-hmm.
which is a big deal. And he says, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it.
Right.
Why? Because his authority will reside.
Right.
You know, he left his authority with the apostles here on earth.
Right, which kind of defeats all of the, you know, newer religions like, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, things like that, that like said that
yeah,
the
Mormons
church went...
who claimed there was a great apostasy.
Right.
There was no apostasy.
Because the gates of hell will never prevail.
If you claim
it.
That there was an apostasy, you have to claim Jesus was wrong.
Right.
And that's kind of a big deal because, you know, he was God.
It's a bold move.
It's a bold, very bold move. Too bold for my taste,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So how do we know also biblically that the apostles had authority from Jesus? Matthew 16:18 is pretty clear. John 20:23 is pretty clear. It's mm-hmm. not clear enough. Why don't you turn to Luke 10:16, mm-hmm. when Jesus says, "He who hears you hears me.
He who rejects you
rejects me." Okay? Mm-hmm. Think about that. Mm-hmm. If you reject the apostles, you're rejecting Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Based on what Jesus Christ said.
Yeah, why? Because Jesus said so, okay?
Right. Like,
you just better deal with it. If
right.
If that's not what you've been believing, well, you better believe it.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said it. Because it's in the gospel. Mm-hmm. Okay? Boom. So, what does that mean? What, like, when the apostles die, what happens? You know, is the church authority over? Like, has the church lost all ability to be authoritative on subjects?
No. No, not at all.
We know this is not true.
Because Judas, when he passed... Judas Iscariot,
right.
He passed. What
Peter,
did the apostles do? They got together, and Peter said...
from Acts 1:20, mm-hmm. Peter quotes the Psalms, mm-hmm. and he talks about... There's a psalm that says, when he dies, when the man of authority dies, let his home be desolate. And then, more importantly, it says, may another take his place, or may another take his office.
Mm-hmm.
So, his office... It's an office, first of all. The even fact that the word office is used is important because that means it's not just like, oh, this guy was really great and now he's dead. No, he had an office,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to be, someone needs to take up that office because an office is ongoing.
Right.
Sort of like the presidency. It's not like, oh, the president died. We don't have a president anymore.
Right.
Because the presidency is an office.
Right.
A new president will be elected.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So. Where else do we see this in the Bible? We see it from Paul.
Yes, and Paul, it's 2 Timothy 1:6. That's another part where St. Paul literally says to St. Timothy, that's where St. Paul lays his hands on St. Timothy.
Where he says that he has laid, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, he has laid hands on St. Timothy, and because of that, he now has a position of authority to go and preach the gospel.
And I think he basically comes out and says, like, listen, you're my successor. Mm-hmm. I laid hands on you for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Paul was an apostle.
Right.
Everybody knows he was an apostle. He comes out and says he's an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an apostle because Jesus called him to that. And Peter laid hands on Paul.
Yes.
To make him so.
Absolutely. And then, Paul says in Ephesians 2:20, he says that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles whom Christ chose himself. You know, so Christ picked the apostles, and he set up this hierarchy, and he set this up that Christ picked these apostles when they died, that they would succeed to another, and we have the whole lineage of the apostles all the way back to St. Peter in the Catholic Church, now to Pope Francis. St. Peter
Correct.
To Pope Francis, and there is a line, an unbroken line, that we can trace all the way back.
We are going to post it on our Facebook page.
I like whenever you make deals like that. Whenever I'm the one that's posting this stuff on. So what you just did was you gave me more work.
For those who can't see, I'm nodding my head yes with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I did. But we need to do it. You need to do it.
Yeah.
The people want to see it.
So.
They should see it. We're going to do it.
Yeah, we'll post it.
Even if I have to do it myself.
Whatever.
Hey, the presidency comes with perks, all right? look for it. It will be there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to post the line.
Right.
I have been to Rome, so just speaking of ordinations, my brother-in-law just got ordained. Last September, I went to Rome with my family, with mm-hmm. Pamela, my wife, my five-month-old daughter. She was 5 months old at the time, Elizabeth, and my in-laws. To participate in his diaconate ordination, which took place in St. Peter's Basilica.
Mm-hmm.
And on the wall outside of St. Peter's is like this massive plaque. That's the best way I can say it. But it has all the names on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you who is on the first, who's number one. It's St. Peter. He's the first name.
Right.
Okay? Because Jesus made him that. And it's got every pope since then.
Right. And this idea of apostolic succession was what isn't something new. Like, the earliest Christians understood this, right? I mean, all the way back from, like we said, St. Irenaeus said, where you see the bishop, there is the Catholic Church. And this was like in the year like 107. 107, Dave.
Pretty early.
That's, you know, pretty early.
And it's not 100 years after Christianity.
No.
Because Jesus died in 33.
Yes.
Roughly.
Roughly. And so, like, everybody understood this from, you know, all the way up to, you know, St. Ambrose, you know, St. Augustine. Like, all of the saints, all the early Christian saints, they were either, you know, bishops or maybe priests. But they all understood that this is how it worked. There was no refuting this. Nobody disagreed with this up until the Protestant Reformation.
Yeah, 1500. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there was a couple people who did, but they were heretics.
Right. They were, yeah. They were deemed heretics.
They were very short-lived.
Right.
In fact, there are plenty of, I mean, stuff that's not in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but as a matter of historical record, letters from very prominent Christian people who said, you know, like where someone of their diocese came to them with an issue and they said, well, we need to appeal to Rome, to the authority of Rome, to resolve this because
mm-hmm.
I can't resolve it. So we'll see what the Bishop of Rome has to say.
Right, and that goes back to, you know, when you have an issue and you settle it between you, if you can't settle it between us, you take it to the church.
Right.
You know, and what is the church?
Yeah.
So
you walk slowly up the line of authority.
Right, exactly.
Which the ultimate authority is Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who has given his authority to the Bishop of Rome here
mm-hmm.
on earth.
Mm-hmm. And who, the Bishop of Rome, is who we call Papa.
Which is Pope.
Right.
And, yeah, so Pope in Italian just is Papa.
Right.
Which means Father.
So we'll post that on our Facebook page. Check us out on Facebook, The Catholic Man Show. Twitter is The Catholic Man Show. Instagram, The Catholic Man Show. You can check us out on iTunes. Guys, use our podcast and then give us a rating if you can, because it'll help us show up more in searches.
And tell us what you want us to talk about.
Yeah, we're open to new ideas.
If there's a manly topic that you like, we'll hit it up.
And we're on Breadbox Media. Check us out on Breadbox Media. We're actually on there at 5 p.m.
On
5
Saturdays,
p.m.
live.
Time.
Yeah. Well, not live, but you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, this has been a great Catholic Man Show with Adam Inhan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. See you next week.